here with you today, and it's wonderful to say, as we've been singing, that the Lord has paid the ransom. Isn't that wonderful? When I think about that, Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you who were dead in trespasses and in sin. It says, rarely would anybody be willing to die for another person, but God commanded his love toward us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. We don't think sin's a bad thing because everybody's doing it. All of us down here are sinners. We think, well, I'm a little bit better than the other guy, you know. And if anybody's going to make it, I should make it. But the Bible says not he that breaks the law on one point breaks them all. Nobody can get into heaven with one sin. And so we see that how much we love the Lord Jesus Christ because he was willing to pay the ransom. And so as we think of this, our topic today is the faithful witnesses obeying the Great Commission. The Lord says in John 20, he says, as the Lord sent me, even so I send you. Now there's a whole bunch of difference between what we can do for other people and what the Lord did for us. The Lord is the only one who's perfect. God is perfect. God created everything perfect. I just am looking forward to that day when things go wrong. You know, I say, how can it be that my line got all mixed up and I had a big fish on and he cut the line and he's gone, you know. I think I'll catch every fish in heaven. I don't know. The Lord's going to allow me to go fishing for fish or for fishing for men. There won't be any fishing for men anymore. But we can see that without God, there's no perfection. God made everything perfect. We know exactly when you can start to shoot the ducks. That has it right. The timetable's there. If you're this part of Minnesota, then the middle of Minnesota, the sun comes up at this time, and boom. And now they project that, you know, that the Lord's faithful. He's always been faithful. And that's his characteristic. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why we're so happy that this one sacrifice, after the order of Melchizedek, he gave one sacrifice forever. There's no longer the need of the priest. I often think, what would happen if the Lord had called me to be a priest in the Old Testament and I had to kill all these animals, you know, and get rid of the blood and sprinkle the blood around? And then it says, no, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's the nice thing about being a missionary. We go to Spain, we can talk to anybody. We can talk to people who are like Saul. Think of the people who died under the hands of Saul, going from church to going to looking for the missionaries and taking them to jail and stoning them like they did Stephen. He was there, you know, giving his consent in the stoning of Stephen. And yet the Lord says, Saul, I'm going to change you into Paul. You're going to be a witness for me. And so there's hope for everybody. Well, sometimes we thought that Joaquin, there's no hope for Joaquin. He's a drug addict. My, oh my, what a problem he has. Now he's playing the piano in our church. And he's teaching the Sunday school class to the youth. And I just say, thank the Lord for the change that he can make. And so we see we do have this need to be a faithful witness, obeying the Great Commission, because the Lord created everything perfect. And he wants to bring it back to perfection, and he's going to bring it back to perfection. He's the one who's going to conquer all of the enemies. The last enemy he'll be conquered is death, as it says here. But then we know he's going to change everything. The eternity will be back. Won't that be something? I often think, what if I lived to be 930 years old? That's how old Adam was when he died. But then you said, well, I wonder how long he lived before they even started counting, you know. Well, eternity is a long time. And I think that we have eternity in our hearts. We kind of want it, you know. They said the Spanish wanted to find in Florida somewhere, I forget where it was, where there's a fountain of life, and they just drank the water, you know, and then they would have eternal life. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's offering us to be born again into his family. John 1:11 says he came unto his own, but his own didn't receive him. But all those who do receive him, he gives them the power to become his own family, to be his children, children of God. What an exciting thing to tell the Spaniards and tell anybody that's getting older that there's remedy for sin, because the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to pay the price. Well, we see then as in our introduction here of God's perfect creation and God being perfect, the only perfect, and God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Son so loving the world that he was willing to come and die that despicable death upon the cross, to be mocked, to be blasphemed, remember? He says he's casting out devils because he's the prince of the devils, the blaspheme, and the people who mocked him. But yet he could have called 10,000 angels, you know. But he wanted to take care of the sacrifice to be, it is finished. The veil was torn apart from the top to the bottom. Isn't that interesting? You can now go into the holiest of holiest. It says now we go in, and we can go in there because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. The Jews have sewed it back up. And a lot of people are doing it. And Paul says, wow, he says, this is unbelievable. He says, I can't believe it. These people are so zealous for, they make these images. They sculpture them. They make them out of gold. They make them out of silver. And then you come to Isaiah chapter 2, and it says, when the trouble comes, they throw their idols to the morthyelagos, to the bats. They throw them to the bats and to the moles that don't even want to come up to see the light. They're not worth anything. He says, in another place, it says, how can it be that they spend all this time, Isaiah 46, and that's the way we have it in Toledo. We have these big images. They carry them through the streets. Every virgin has its birthday. Every town has its own virgin. And they have a week celebration celebrating the virgin. And they take her out in the streets. And people pay to be able to carry the virgin around on the certain trajectory that they have. They'll break it into four parts and you pay. And one older fellow said, he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have enough money. These young guys are making all kinds of money, and they bid more money than I do. I can't even get to pay carry the virgin around anymore. I said, don't worry about carrying the virgin around. What you need to do is find the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so that's why the missionaries are there. The Great Commission is there to say, go ye into all the world. Isn't that interesting in Toledo? And maybe you have the same things here. My brother-in-law was born in Argentina. Well, he's a believer, lives in Madrid with my daughter. My daughter-in-law was born in Venezuela. Her dad's a pastor down there in Venezuela. Her mother's from Guatemala. People from Peru. We have people in our church from Peru, from Ecuador, from Minnesota. Don't have anybody from Wisconsin, but you're sure welcome to come, you know. But the Lord says, go into all the world. And he tells us over there in Revelation, he says, out of every tribe and every nation and every tongue there will be. And how exciting that is, the great reunion we're going to have. And he says, now you go, you take the message. Those who are saved, you baptize. Those who are baptized, you train. Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, hey, you got to pass that baton on, Timothy. I'm getting old. He says, I fought my fight, you know, and I've done what the Lord wanted me to do. But he says, I'm trying to get this baton. You've got to teach this to faithful men who can teach other faithful men, who can teach other faithful men. And somebody told my grandma, and my grandma told my mother, and my mother told me. That's what I like. That's the part I like. It's when somebody told me that message and I was able to accept the Lord. I remember I wanted a megaphone. world, you need to get saved. The Lord saved me. Well, I tell you what, it's a great message. It says how beautiful in Nahum chapter 2. So it says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the tidings, who proclaim it on the mountaintops that God reigns and brings peace. And so that's the message that we have to the world, peace. And when the angels were playing the trumpets, remember, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And that's the message that we have, a message of peace, a message of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the importance of the commission. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all four of them have the Great Commission towards the end of their of those books. And we see the Holy Spirit, how important it is to carry that message into the hearts of the people. So the Great Commission, number two, we have here, chosen ambassadors. And so we think of that verse over there in John 15, verse 16, says, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go, that you should bring forth fruit. Remember, as he tells them there in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, you are my witnesses. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, so you can tell people about how you came out of that darkness into the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, you are my ambassadors. He says, Christ reconciled us to God, and we need to reconcile the people on the earth here with God through the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, who took all of our sin on himself. Can you imagine? I can't imagine eternity, God in eternity looking down on his righteous servant as he was being a sacrifice for sin. And it says, God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? See, that's because that little Larry Parks, that old sinner, he wants to get to heaven. And I got to pay his price. And so there was that time of the darkness that for 3 hours, remember, you heard the voice, why have you forsaken me? And it was because he took your sins and he took my sins. He took the sins of the world. Anybody, whosoever will, let him come. He that hath no money, let him come. Let him drink freely. Isn't that exciting? You think of it, you know, and so here we are in this country of Spain, such a religious a town, but it reminds me of what Jeremiah said about his people there. He says, my people, Israel has committed two sins. Number one, they've forsaken the fountain of living waters. And number two, they're hewing out their own cisterns that can hold no water. You know, just like the woman at the well, she says, tell me about this water so I don't have to come here again. He says, well, I'm talking about the Spirit and the truth. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have a fountain of living water. And so we need to realize that we are ambassadors for Christ. As Isaiah 43:10 says, you are my witnesses that I am God. And Jeremiah chapter 7 says, don't let the valiant say, hey, how valiant I am, and let the other people say how great they are. He just let the people rejoice in that they know me, the fountain of living water. And he is the only true God. So we are, is number three there, talks about faithful witnesses. And so when I was thinking about that witnesses, you know, I said, you know, it's not always easy. Because the Lord has said, out in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You know, it's kind of hard. In Spain, it's been a problem. One lady was so excited, she got home. She said, I've been born again, I've been saved. She told her family, and the family says, you cannot go back there anymore. We had another guy another missionary over in Talavera de la Reina. And the guy calls him up, can you forgive sins? And the pastor said, evangelical pastor said, yeah, I can forgive sins. Can you imagine that? You know, over there, they confess their sins to people, to the priests. And they call this missionary up, and he says, can you forgive sins? And he says, sure. So he gets an arrangement with him, tells him about the Lord, and the guy asks for forgiveness of his sins. And he says, well, it's not really me that can forgive you, but the Lord Jesus Christ can. And so he got saved. He was so excited. It was so excited. And finally, Lucio Gutierrez, he went to the ball game. And this fellow who gotten saved, he said, okay, everybody stop now. My new pastor is going to pray that we win this ball game. So the pastor, wow, that was quite a deal. He was so bold. But then he, the family and the wife and everything else, and after about a year of time, he calls up Lucio. Lucio, thank you for telling me the truth, but my family does not want, if I'm going to stay together as a family, I have to, not attend the church. Thank you for showing me the plan. I hope to tell other people, but so there's a lot of persecution. And we know that it's, but that's why the Lord says, and lo, I am with you always. Always. Can you imagine that? Isaiah 42 says, when you walk through the waters, says, Mar Rojo, Red Sea, open up. There they go across on dry land. He says, when you walk through the waters, I'll be there. When you're with the lions, Daniel, is your God who you serve continually able to deliver you out of the mouth of the lions? And Daniel says, oh, thanks for waking me up, king. Yes, that's true. My God saved me out of the mouth of the lions. So they got the others, they threw them in, and they didn't even touch the ground. Remember how the lions devoured them in their mouths before the ones who had pointed the finger at Daniel. So our God is with us no matter where we go. The message is for everybody. And we can say, remember then Daniel chapter 3, those three men, it says, hey, if you don't worship the idol that I've made, that Daniel's interpreted, this big idol that I've got of gold, and if you don't fall down and worship, there's one sentence for you, and that is the fire. And the three, remember, they said, well, just a minute, king, you can give us a second chance if you want to, but we don't need a second chance because we've already made up our mind. We're not going to bow down to an image. And if our God wants to, he can deliver us. But if he doesn't want to, I want you to know, king, that we are not going to bow down to an image. And so the king, Nebuchadnezzar, remember how he got so mad? He heated it seven times. Get the old blowers out there and get the old coals, and my, oh my, seven times. The people who threw them in the furnace, they died. But the people who were thrown in the furnace, the king says, wait a minute, how many did we throw in? There's four of them. One looks like the Son of God. Well, the Lord's promised to always be with us, and I'll be with you wherever you go. Of course, the Great Commission came after what happened to Daniel, but we can see how the Lord is with them in the jail. Remember Paul and Silas as they were in the jail? I don't know if you've had a jail ministry before, but sometimes it's kind of discouraging, these jail ministry. We have a fellow in our church who every week goes to the jail. And here we are with Paul and Silas. Can you imagine it? Preaching the gospel. And then there's this lady who says, these are men of the Most High who show unto us the way of eternal life. But she bothered him so much that Paul cast out the demon. And then the lady didn't know her name. Oh, I don't know what she didn't know, but she didn't know the future. And the guy said, wow, we've lost all of our money. We used to win all the lottery, Wisconsin lottery, I don't know what. So he said, well, she doesn't even know anything of the future now. So they grab Paul and Silas, and they're thrown in jail, remember, and they're beaten. And what happens at midnight? The Lord's with them. The Lord said, I'll be with you wherever you go, wherever it is. It doesn't matter. I will go with you even in the jail. And so they had peace in their hearts. And they were there singing choruses. Can you imagine having the choruses? I don't know if they had a little drum to beat on or a guitar, probably not, or David's harp, But anyway, they were down there and they were singing these choruses. And the Lord met their need and met the need of the jailer. Remember, the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when that's all over, you say, Lord, why did I have to go through the jail experience in order to tell him about the Lord? Sometimes, I remember one time, I stopped for gas, and instead of putting gas in, they put diesel fuel. And so I got a little ways up the hill, and boop, 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 boop. So I finally ended up going back down the hill and made it back to the station. Hey, what kind of, what'd you put in? Oh, he said, I'm sorry, I put the wrong stuff in there. You'll have to, you know, and I got a chance to witness to this guy. I said, well, Lord, thanks for the opportunity to witness, you know. And maybe Paul said, well, thanks the Lord for the opportunity to get the jailer saved. Or remember, he says, think of the persecution that he had, but the Lord was with him through it all. When he was whipped, when he was out there in the boat, in the sea, was with him all the time. So we need to become, as it says here, faithful witnesses obeying the Great Commission. Faithful witnesses. A faithful witness is like a soldier. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, he said, I want you to be a good soldier. He says, number one there, he says, now don't do it in your own strength. That's why the Holy Spirit is to help us, and we ask the Holy Spirit to help us because he's the one who communicates and convicts of sin. And but it says you need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. It reminds me of those Navy SEALs, you know, what they go through, the training and all this stuff. And then, you know, it's just amazing. And he says, now, but Paul, you got to, Paul tells Timothy, now, Timothy, don't get entangled with the world. Because the devil's going to try to entangle you like the one father. I used to have judo down there at Bob Jones, you know, and playing judo. And the guy wanted to be a missionary in Colombia. And his dad said, no. He says, you're my only son. This is the company we have. You have to take it over. The son says, Dad, but God's called me to be a missionary pilot down there in Colombia. And he became a missionary pilot down there in Colombia. I don't know if his father ever got saved or not, but that's it's exciting. When you, sometimes it's hard to not get entangled with the things of this life because there's a lot of things that can get us entangled. Number one, if you marry someone that's not a believer, wow. Reminds me of the poor guy up there in Faribault, Minnesota. His wife says, what happened to you? Friday night, you're getting ready to go to Sunday school. And on Saturday and on Sunday, good grief, we used to be drunk the whole weekend. Now you won't even go out with me. I can't stand this type of life. So she divorced him. What a sad situation. And there are examples of others where they get saved. That's exciting. But the Lord is with us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. No matter where you go, the Lord is right there. You say, I lack wisdom, and that's the one I use a lot. James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, give me wisdom. I've never been in this situation. I got down there. We went hunting, we came to the restaurant to have a cup of coffee, and I said I'd shot a forest ranger. Everybody looks at me. Shot a forest ranger? I said, yeah. One shot, boom, he was dead. And they looked, why, forest ranger? And here he is. And I pulled him out of my coat. You know, I had him in my coat. And I said, that's not a forest ranger. That's a Thorthal. You said Forestal. I said, a Forestal is forest ranger, and a Thorthal is a little blackbird that eats all the... I mean, the Lord even helped me out of that. You know, they didn't even shoot me before asking any more questions. Well, so be a faithful witness. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Point B, it tells us about not become entangled. Number C is approved truthful workers of the gospel. So the truth can go free, and the truth needs to be proclaimed. And then vessels unto honor. Number D is vessels unto honor. And then E, flee the youthful lusts. You know, it's the youthful lusts that become, when we were children in Bible school, they took a little thread and they stuck one around and said, now can you break it? Boom, broke the thread. Two times around, three, four, the little threads, you know. Five times around, boom. That's the way some happens with youth in sin sometimes. You think, oh, I can stop sinning whenever I want to. Well, then they put it around about 20 times and I tried to break it and I said, it became a habit. I said, oh, I can't break it. And that's where the youth, it says, flee youthful lust. That's when they need to start their trajectory or their goal of following the Lord Jesus Christ before they become slaves to different habits. So you flee youthful lust, as it says here, and we follow the Lord. So following the Lord, you know, I think is the most exciting thing. It says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And when you're doing what God wants you to do, that's when you're happy. You know, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. And the Lord is the one that gives us the peace. He says, run to him. He's the high tower. He's the castle. He's the fortress. We're under his wings. I'm safely abiding. And so that's our message this morning, is that we need to be faithful witnesses, regardless of the cost, to be faithful to God, trusting him and proclaiming the good news of salvation. I'm so happy somebody told me, and I want to pass it on as well. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he was willing to come down and provide the redemption story for us, to provide the redemption that washes away our sins whenever we call upon you. Thank you for forgiveness and eternal life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.